Good afternoon. Did I get that right this time too? Very good. I have had the opportunity to preach here. I haven't been able to preach here before. Several times I've been here just to during the sacrament. But let me tell you, I just like getting to know you. And I also like to know God's word. I want to tell you just one other thing, and that is several years ago I had a stroke. Didn't affect my body, but it affected my mind, and my mind just goes slow. Two things happened. Number one, it means that I'm afraid sometimes I'll miss a word, and so I don't want to say the wrong word so that I use God's word differently. I use a manuscript. But I want to tell you, secondly, I love God's word. It's exciting to proclaim God's word. Now, secondly from that, because of my medication, I use one that makes me get very dry. And so I'm going to be stopping from time to time to have some water to drink. I hope that doesn't bother you too. Having said that, let us pick it up here as we have with the text. We're looking here at Esther, chapter 4, and we'll be reading together in verses 9 through 16. So Hatak returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hatak and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants, the people of the king's province, know that any man or woman who goes into the inner courts of the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids, and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." And this word is the good news that has perished, has preached to you. Here we go. Beloved congregation, let me begin by telling you that Israel was an Old Testament type of the Old New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. You understand that word type? A type is a picture of the spiritual reality. So Israel was the type, as we've said a moment ago, is the church of Jesus Christ. So you must see that and understand that. Now, therefore, Israel had been attacked by the nations, and the church is presently being attacked from all sides by the world. As time passes, the church seems to be having less and less influence in the world. It seems that the church might easily be destroyed by such fearful forces as are arrayed against her. That is, philosophy, political ideas, many religions, are arrayed against the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, even many Christian theologians even say that this is the post-Christian age, and that God is dead, as others say. Is there no hope for the kingdom of God? That is there no hope for the church? Will the kingdom of God and the church be destroyed? Or will it just wither away? The plan, beloved, of Satan seemed to be the destruction of the kingdom of God and the church itself during the reign of Queen Esther also. Now, you have the outline. If you like it, I hope you can follow it. I like to have the outline. I leave that. You can follow that. You can make notes. You can at least follow what we're talking about. Okay, here we go. Here's the first point. The assurance of faith requires involvement. Now, the situation of the history of Israel is found throughout the scriptures. Early in history, Jehovah God chose Abraham, and he made a covenant with him to be his God. Later, there was the sojourner of Israel in Egypt, and 400 years later, Jehovah God delivered them from slavery. Then, there was the 30 years wandering in the wilderness because of Israel's sin. And finally, Israel took possession of the land of Canaan. Then Israel greater sinned, and there was the rebellion of the people against their God. Because of that rebellion, beloved, Jehovah God chastened Israel, and Jehovah God sent Israel into exile in Persia. At that time, Haman, who had been promoted over all the princes of Persia by King Ahasuerus, hated the Jews in general, and he hated a certain Jew named Mordecai in particular. Now, finally, Haman concocted a plan, which was a law that was planned to destroy Israel, Jehovah God's covenant people. And that law was passed for the destruction of all the Jews. Now, the outlook for the Israelites was indeed not good. As you should know, however, any Medo-Persian law could not have been changed once it received the seal of the king. The strength of Israel's enemies was so very great indeed. The situation looked at the Israelites as if an annihilation was certain. It appeared that even Mordecai believed that the situation was very serious indeed. Now, the facts in the book of Esther, I have a good friend whose name is Easter. And my mind gets Easter and Esther in a way so easily. So I'm sorry about that one. Here we go. Once again, the fact in the book of Esther were quite certain. Mordecai, the uncle of Esther, a true believer in the covenant, knew that Israel would be delivered by Jehovah God one way or in another. Oh, beloved, Jehovah God is the God of covenant faithfulness who cannot lie and cannot break his covenant. Here is the covenant that Jehovah God made with Abraham in Genesis 15, verses 17 through 18. Quote, "It came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and flaming torch, which passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land from the river to Egypt, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates.'" Notice how Mordecai was certainly sure that Jehovah God would deliver Israel, just as Mordecai wrote in, as Moses, excuse me, wrote in Genesis 17, verses 7 and 8. Quote, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourners and the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Beloved, Jesus has become the church of Jesus Christ. You must see that, because there is that everlasting possession, the church of Jesus Christ. Nothing will happen. It cannot fall. Further, Moses had proclaimed to Israel about Jehovah God's faithfulness in Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4, quote, For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his works are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Further, beloved, this is what David proclaimed in the same thought in 2 Samuel 7, verse 28, quote, Now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Finally, this again is what the psalmist said in this very same concept in Psalm 146, verses 5 and 6. 146, 5 and 6. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. Now remember, the covenant promise, as Jehovah God proclaimed in 2 Samuel 7:16, was, quote, And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Once again, beloved, you see that hope of Israel. That hope of Israel was an application to the church of Jesus Christ, knowing that that church is forever and shall be established forever. Oh, what glorious to know for sure. Now, remember the prophecy of those 70 years of exile given by the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 25, verse 12, quote, Then it will be, when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and the nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it an everlasting desolation. The opposite of those false thoughts, you see. The application is the world. The world is dying. That is to be an everlasting desolation on the other half that you must see and understand. Most important, the seed of the woman, as promised to Adam and to Abraham, needed to come as the Redeemer of Israel, that is Jesus Christ. And that is why Satan had attacked the kingdom of God repeatedly throughout history. Now, Mordecai had instructed Queen Esther, a Jew, to seek help from the king, as the text says now in verse 8, quote, He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict, which had been assured in Susa for their destruction, that he might show Esther and inform her and to order her to go in to the king to implore his favor and to plead with him for her people. Oh, beloved, she was concerned that the king might not help the Jews and that she might die. But Mordecai was assured that the kingdom of God will not be destroyed, for his faith was in the promise of Jehovah God, as the last text says in verse 14, quote, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty or kingdomship for such a time as that?" Now, once again, you could see that here, Queen Esther was also a type of every true believer. And every true believer is in royalty. Every true believer, you see, really is therefore a child of God, a glorious thought and assurance. Well, we hear much about faith today, on what though men build their faith, faith on banks, on armaments, on laws, or politicians, or just upon other men. If that is the foundation for your faith, beloved, you don't really understand the problem. For the real problem is not economic, it is not social, it is not politics. The real problem today is ethical. It is sin. Adam's sin is passed on to every person who is born naturally. And every natural person is covered with sin. Jehovah God's promise resulting in Christ crucified is the only answer. Oh, beloved, Christ crucified, let me say it again, is truly the only answer to the problems of the world from every individual. Faith in Jesus Christ, through Christ, is the only answer, again, the only hope for this sin-cursed world and for you as an individual. If Esther acted or not, Israel, that Old Testament type of the Church of Jesus Christ that we've said several times, would be saved, for Israel was protected for the only sovereign God. Our God is a sovereign God who controls all things. The true hope of Israel was not what Esther could accomplish, nor what Jehovah God, through grace, would accomplish through her. You must see the application and see this again. Beloved, every true believer is what we are talking about again. So the true hope of every true believer is not what you can accomplish, but what Jehovah God, through grace, will accomplish through you. Once again, beloved, we hold this same confidence, this same assurance for the Church of Jesus Christ today. God does have an elect people, and Christ is building his church against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. This, again, beloved, the scriptures urge every true believer to get involved, working, praying, and giving in the kingdom of God. Once again, did you see that? It is true of every true believer, but it must be about you. The scripture urges you to get involved working, involved praying, and involved giving in the kingdom of God, even in this church right here in Torrance. Well, that's the first point. Secondly, there's the warning of chastening requires involvement. We were talking about that very thing here. Now, this text sets forth the situation there, right there in Babylon. Although Esther was a Jew, she had become the queen of Babylon. Her people and her church, if you were in great danger. Esther had not been sent for the king for at least 30 days. This is exactly what this text says now in verse 8, which we talked, 11 verse, which we said about a moment ago. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. Obey the law of approaching the king was that if she approached without being summoned, she took her life into her hand. For the king would decide her life or death by holding out to you the golden scepter or not doing so. Now the text tells us that there were only two choices for Esther. She could speak out for her people and for her God, thus endangering herself. That is, that would be making herself vulnerable. Indeed, Esther could have remained silent, thus abandoning her duty. She could have hoped to escape by hiding in the palace, maybe. Oh, beloved, there are two choices before Esther. It often boils down to every person here. There are two choices, aren't there? Those two choices are always the same right there. The first choice is to obey and to serve the Lord, to be involved in serving the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ. The second choice is to abandon your duty. You can put those two choices this way. Get involved in the church or try to hide by taking the way of seemingly safety. Beloved, you will never face the exact choices that Esther faced. But you face a similar choice every day, especially in relation to your wealth, in relation to your time, in relation to your talents, relation to your opportunity to witness by your actions and by your words, by involved in the kingdom of God, to be involved in the church of Jesus Christ right here. Now, this text tells us about the results. The text says that if Queen Esther spoke, there might have been death. If she remained silent, there would at least be chastening. Once again, if Esther remained silent, Israel would still be spared, but she and her father's house would be severely chastened, as the text says now in verse 14, quote, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews, from another place, and you and your father's house will perish." Who knows whether you have not attained royalty, kingship, for such a time as this. Now, Paul warns us in the words of Galatians 6, verse 7, quote, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." Also, this is what Paul warns us. What we must certainly confess Jesus with our lips, as Paul said in Romans 10:6, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and because in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Once again, beloved, the scriptures exhort you to be involved in the kingdom of God. That is, the scriptures often exhort you to be involved in the church of Jesus Christ, like being in this church right here. That was the second point. Here's the third. The third point is the challenge of sovereignty requires involvement. Now, this text teaches us that Jehovah God is sovereign. How many times have we told that? Our God is in control. God controls all things. Our God is sovereign. Once again, this is exactly what this text tells us in verses 13 and 14. Quote, "Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, 'Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at the time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews for another place, and you and your father's house will perish.'" Notice, beloved, the scriptures tell us that Israel would survive no matter what. Sovereign God will survive as it surprised Israel. It will survive the church no matter what Esther decided, what you decide to do. Israel was, again, that type of the church. That means the church will survive no matter what you decide to do. But God has placed both Esther and you where you are for a reason. Now, that application is clear. Every true believer is reasonable for this, for his actions and for his decisions. You see, the application of the scriptures is that every true believer is responsible to act in obedience to Jehovah God's word. In the application, every believer is responsible to get involved in the work of the kingdom of God. The scripture clearly tells us that every true believer is responsible to seek first the kingdom of God. But for some Christians, we know religion is really too often self-seeking. However, finally, Jehovah God has put true believers here to act in a responsible way at this particular point in time. Beloved, the text again tells us that Jehovah God told Esther to get involved with God's kingdom and to further God's kingdom's ends, even there in the exile. Furthermore, the text means that you are to further God's kingdom's ends now with your involvement. Esther might have wished that it was a different time or a different set of circumstances than that set of problems there in Babylon. Oh, beloved, you might wish that it is a different time or that it is a different set of circumstances here in this situation, in this church. But beloved, Jehovah God put you here at this time, in this set of circumstances, to serve Jehovah God here and now, even right here in this church. This is exactly what the text tells us again in verse 14. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. You see, the word royalty in the Hebrew means, well, like we said, royalty, or royal power, or reign, or kingdom. And this is the translation. Maybe it's the same one that's in what we read a moment ago. But I usually use it in the New King James Version in verse 14. It goes like this. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Oh, beloved, Jehovah God has brought Esther to the queen in that exile. That was the marvelous way in which Jehovah God had sovereignly given Esther the opportunity to speak to the king so that he could pass a law that would give Israel the opportunities to continue to live. Oh, beloved, Jehovah God has brought you sovereignly to be of service in the kingdom of God. And every true believer is indeed is a child of God. That's royalty. That's the part of the kingdom. What did I say? Hang on, back up again. Jehovah God has brought you sovereignly to be of service in the kingdom of God. And every true believer is a child of God, as Paul spoke of that royalty in Romans 8, verses 14 and 15 this way, quote, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." That means, beloved, that you, every true believer, must act in a responsible way at this particular point in this time and in this particular church. Well, that's the third point. A short conclusion to tie it together for a moment. In verse 16, Esther said, "Go, assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way." Beloved, to fast in the Jewish thought meant to pray seriously. It doesn't mean that you have to fast. Some can at times if they decide to. But that isn't really the concept. The concept of this concept of fast meant to pray seriously. I hope you understand that, beloved. After Esther had prayed, she told Mordecai that she would go and talk to the king about the law. Again, Esther said to Mordecai in verse 16, "And thus I will go into the kingdom which is not according to the law." That meant that Esther needed to be totally involved in serving Israel, serving the kingdom of God. Beloved, total involvement meant that Esther had to put ease, position, and safety away. Finally, Esther said to Mordecai in verse 16, "If I perish, I perish." You know, Esther wasn't saying, "Well, we're not sure what will happen, but it doesn't matter." Maybe so. Beloved, that meant that Esther had placed himself in the hand of that sovereign God. What about you? Do you wish that there was something different happening in this church in this year? Do you wish that in this year there is a different set of circumstances in this local church? With all of the problems in the church, will you get involved in the church? Many people might ask, "Me? Get involved? Why?" Beloved, there was one who got totally involved for you. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up the glory of heaven to be born in every humble means, to live under the law, to provide perfect righteousness for you, to die, to provide a perfect redemption, reconciliation, and atonement for you. Oh, beloved, that means whether you have come to the kingdom of God for such a time and for such a set of circumstances and for such problems of this church as this, so you can serve Jehovah God just as he has called you to serve him in his kingdom as a true servant who is a true child of the king, knowing that your king is a sovereign God who controls everything about your life, about your church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, what a glorious God to know that you are a sovereign God. You've called us to be your people. We thank you, Father, for your word, calling us to faith, to have a commitment, and to serve you in great service. Help us, Father, to respond to that word in wholehearted faith and gratitude, that we can serve you and glorify you more and more. Teach us, we pray, to be involved in part of our being. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.